All right, are we ready for the message? I mixed the order up, so I'm actually going to use this order for all communion Sundays, just so you know, but the rest of the Sundays, it'll all stay the same, I promise. Can everyone hear me okay? A little bit higher. Betsy, can we turn it up just a tiny bit? How's that? Is that a little bit better? Okay, thank you. Betsy and Simon are back there keeping everything together. Thank you. Doing awesome. So this is the final week in our regather sermon series. The first week we gathered around song out in a public place, a very high energy gathering. Everyone came together for one service at 9 a.m. And then thanks to Joy and Monica, had pancakes after, and Michael even came and helped us out. So thank you, Michael. The second weekend, we gathered back in our regular two-service structure as we gathered around prayer and a more intimate and contemplative service. Last week, we figured out that maybe what we thought about justice all along wasn't exactly what God meant. And so when we gathered around justice, we realized that what we were actually being called to do is to gather in thanksgiving for God's intervention, calling us into a right relationship with ourselves, with one another, with all of creation. This week, we gather around mission. And the scripture passage is this wonderful, when I read the scripture, what I think about is all of those like promotional videos for like a timeshare or a vacation or a assisted living place. Like it's this 30-second snapshot of how wonderful everything is. It's this best introduction to Christian community you could ever hear. And so Acts 2, 42 through 45, which is also printed in your bulletins if you want to follow along, reads, "This newly formed family continued daily to learn from the 12 message bearers. They lived together in harmony, ate ceremonial meals, and prayed with one another. Great respect and awe came down upon all, and the message bearers performed many powerful signs. As these new followers lived together in peace, their harmony grew stronger. And they shared all things. Many of them had a giveaway to provide for all who were in need." This scripture I've preached on a few times before because it's one of my favorite. It's like the best intentions, right? It's sort of like this prophetic wish of how we all hope to be together in community, that no one would ever be in need, that we would always have services that kind of felt like that bluegrass, where like everyone is together and there's song and there's excitement and we love each other and we sing kumbaya and nothing is ever wrong and we don't worry about anything ever, right? I think that that's great intention. But the problem is that we have moments where that intention is realized and we get stuck on that memory. Last Sunday, I had the great pleasure and gift of being able to go with Monica and Joy and the youth to Meow Wolf. And the youth came and got us whenever they needed money and food. As youth do. But I got to accompany two 10-year-olds who just thought that everything at Meow Wolf was the most amazing thing they have ever seen in their entire lives. It was absolutely magical to watch their awe and wonder at everything for 2 hours. Like, they never tired of feeling just complete amazement at everything before them. And there was this point at which we entered this kind of like, to me, it looked like a mix between a mailbox, like a P.O. box place, and a library storage center. I'm not really sure. By that point, I think my brain was like, just like, oh, shorting out. But this man that worked there came out to the two girls and he said, "This is a memory bank." And he said, "Do you want to pick a memory out?" And he pulled out one of the drawers and he showed them this card that had a memory on it. And he put it back and he's like, but now you have to deposit a memory. And he had this glass jar and they had to whisper into the jar their memory. And he said, a good memory. And so they both picked the memory of when they first got their puppies, which is adorable. And so they whisper it into there, and then he puts his hand over the lid, and he takes it over to this other place, and he deposits it into the thing. And it must have pushed a button, because like it made all this noise, and it went over here, and the girls are coming. He's like, follow it. And all of a sudden, the thing lights up, and one of the girls turned to me, and she goes, my memory's really in there. And I said, it is. But I love the idea of exchanging memories, a new and fresh memory, while also knowing that the memories that we've had, they're not going anywhere. We can always, in times of uncertainty and in times of worry and anxiety, know that those memories are always there waiting for us to remind us that whatever we think is going to happen, all the what ifs and the horrible predictions, that we always live somewhere in between that wonderful memory of great intention and the horrible prediction of everything that could go wrong. And this idea that in this scripture, it's really this prophetic prediction of jubilee, that we'll never live under the weight of a burden that's too heavy to bear, because all of us will be there to gather together, to carry that burden together. It's this beautiful image that we are constantly falling short of because, unfortunately, we're humans. Gathered together in a world that really has us brainwashed into believing that we are completely separate from everything else in all of creation. And last week, that image of justice pulled us back in this like grand summoning, beautiful intervention that God says, no, justice is right relationship, and I love you so much, and you are so valuable in creation that I'm coming to remind you of your place. And mission is the way in which we are together as a Christian fellowship, a word that we unfortunately tend to misuse a lot. Fellowship is an hour that we come and go from during the week, just like worship is an hour that we come and go from each week. And the consequence is of this misuse of these words is that, unfortunately, we forget that what God wants us to remember is that fellowship is an ever-widening and ever-expanding experience of being alive in community. This is not a description of what worship is. This is a description of who we're called to be as Christians each and every moment, striving to love one another. Christian fellowship is this profound concern for the health and well-being of one another. It's the reason that whether or not you come to worship, you can call this place your spiritual home. Since I've arrived, I've been giving people a call to connect and check in, to introduce myself. And what I want you to remember from this sermon is that regardless of who comes to this place on a Sunday morning for an hour, so many people call this their home. So many people wish that they could be here but aren't able to because of a variety of circumstances. Because they're caring for their family members, because they're working, because they have children that have obligations on Sunday mornings. And yet, they know that in whatever uncertainty is happening in their lives, this place is here waiting for them. That in the carousel of life, when everything is spinning, there is this central place where they can know that they could go if everything was out of control. We forget to remember how much we matter. When we remember the moments of being over at the bluegrass service and everything felt so full and everything felt so joyous, and depositing that memory and letting it go so that we can see that right now in this moment, what we're doing matters. People need us. Not to call them into this place for 1 hour, but to go out to them. In this scripture, behind the scenes, what is happening is the apostles, in my mind, are freaking out. Jesus has just left them, which creates a huge gulf of grief, right, and fear. But then, in addition to that, Jesus has left them the Spirit. They are inheritors of Jesus' authority. So it's as if the patriarch or the matriarch of the family leaves and suddenly you're in charge of Thanksgiving dinner when you've never cooked before. And everyone is watching you to see how the meal goes. And everyone's going to come and taste it. And the apostles, I'm sure, are freaking out. And Acts, in this passage, is saying, this is who we hope to be. This is who we experience you to be. And what we see Jesus having done is a reflection of what they're trying, who they're trying to be. To go out into people's homes and to break bread. In this scripture, breaking bread has nothing to do with communion, but it's an addition onto worship in the temple. For all of those people who are not able to access the temple, for all of those people who feel disconnected from the teachings of the temple, the apostles are following in Jesus' footsteps by going out and being with them, by breaking bread with them, by reminding them that no matter where they are in their lives or what they're doing, it is the bread that draws them together. And that bread can be broken anywhere. There was an old woman and her dog who lived in the cave of knowledge that was within everyone's sight, but nobody could ever find it. And the woman sat in the center of the cave of knowledge, weaving the most beautiful garment that anybody has ever seen. And for years and for decades and for centuries, she had been working on this garment. And finally, she had reached the hem. She set the garment down and went back into the cave where a fire burnt that needed tending in a cauldron sat above the fire that needed to be stirred. For in this cauldron was a stew of all the seeds in all the world that were required for the planet to thrive. And she was responsible for keeping this stew brewing to just the right temperature and just the right way. But after she had tended the fire and turned the stew, she walked back to where her garment was. And the mischievous and curious dog had found the one loose thread on that hem and began to spin into circles until it was a chaotic mess all over the floor. And the woman began to search within all of the threads for the one loose thread. The end of all the unraveling. And as she did, she smiled because in her searching, she realized there was an even more beautiful vision of the next garment she was called to create. In Native tribes, they tell the participants to be careful who dams the dog. For it is the woman who is weaving the world that gives thanks for the visions that come out of the unraveling. The memories of what was before COVID are hopes for what will be in the future. Let us allow the cross to represent the threshold of a crossroads we are being invited to partake in. A great unraveling of how we hoped or wished things could be, so that we might embrace the beautiful visions of the way things already are. Amen.